This is the Perfectly Mentored Podcast with your host, Jason Portnoy.
How do you force people to take action?
It's a great question. And I remember a specific email that I got from a good friend of mine. He was, I went to university with him. He's a doctor. He's really smart, but like everybody in life, he got overwhelmed. And he sent me this email about this overwhelming situation that he was in. And when it's not your problem, you're really good at solving problems, you know, because I wasn't emotionally attached. Like as a coach,
I'm really good at helping it's the coach. It's the coach's role.
Right. I'm not emotionally attached to the problem, but everybody who has a problem is emotionally attached to it. Like even I have problems and I'm emotionally attached to them, which is why it's harder for me to solve them. So anyways, I look at my friend's problems with unemotional, unattached eyes. And I say, well, the solution to me is clear. Here's what you need to do. And here's the, and then I said, what's the first step that you can take to fixing this and executing? Because you go back and you say, like, everybody likes to get motivated. And then when, you know, so whether it's like, hey, you know, we've got to go and build an app, or we've got to go and build a sales page, or we've got to build out a sales team. Like, okay, I can understand that rationally. But when you look at that, that is such an overwhelming project, and you can get paralyzed by it, right? Paralysis through analysis or whatever it is. And so I just say, well, what's the first step that you can take? So when I actually do I just had a mastermind down here in Cancun, we always do this 90-day planning. And it's like, okay, for your next 90 days, what's your major outcome goal, your numbers-based goal? And then what are the three process goals underneath that the action steps that you control that will move you ahead? And that's good. But again, those three process goals might seem massive. And then the next question is, before you leave this meeting room, what's one thing that you can do that moves you ahead? Because it's just like the cliche, Jason, how do you eat an elephant? Well, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. So you got to take that first bite, right? So when you do something, so whether it's, you know, somebody's listening to this and they want to lose 10 pounds, or they want to run a 10K, or they want to start a business, or they want to, you know, do this major project in their business, there's one thing you have to do first. Like you have to do something to get started. And so when we do that, when we take an action, it gives us momentum, because it's like, you know, these things here, the phones, the curses, when the red light notifies us, we get a dopamine hit. But it's similar when you take an action towards your big goals. You take an action, you get a flood of, you know, your good positive neurotransmitters. You feel good because you acted. So now you have momentum, which gives you motivation. You then turn that motivation into more momentum, and you keep on going and going and going. Another visual for this is when most people see that big project, like I got to go and build a sales team of 10 people, what they see is, like, I believe it was Sisyphus from Greek mythology. He has to roll the rock up the hill every single day. He has to roll this giant rock up the hill. And that's what it is. Like, I got to roll this rock up the hill. And then it rolls back down on top, and he has to roll it back up every single day when it's a big project. But when we flip it and go, what's the one thing you can do right now? And then the next question I ask people is, what's the one major action you can take in 24 hours? And what's the one major action you can take in 48 hours? And then what's the one major action you can take in 72? And then what's the one major action you can do this week? And so on and so forth. And who do you need to help you? And who does what by when? And who is your accountability coach or partner to hold you to this? Who are all these things? And we have all this information. It becomes very clear. And now we switch from being Sisyphus rolling the rock up the hill to being, I don't know, I don't have a name for it, maybe Craigophis, rolling a snowball down the hill. And when you roll a snowball down the hill, what happens? You're from Montreal, you know, you get the snowball, it's about this big, and all of a sudden you roll it, and it's this big, and momentum. And all of a sudden, this project, this eating of the elephant, becomes so much easier. And now, man, we're so far ahead. So it's figuring out those first steps, and then the subsequent steps, which gives us dopamine hit, which gives us momentum, which gives us the motivation to come back and do it again.
And I like your take on it, because I think a lot of people look at it and sit there and say, all right, maybe you set a goal that's too big. And I actually don't think that's the reason entrepreneurs fail, is because set goals too big. I actually think they probably set goals that are too small and they hit it way too early, and then they just stay comfortable.
You and then they bounce to some other shiny object.
So I actually don't think it's big enough goals, but you and I both work with a lot of entrepreneurs. It's become a space that's been highly glamorized. People all want to be like entrepreneurs. The problem is 9 out of 10 businesses fail. And that's something that's not talked about enough. It's not talked about that entrepreneurship's a lonely journey, that that's not talked about enough as well, that the suicide rate's pretty high in it. But I don't even want to go down that dark path. I want to talk about, why do you think so many business or most entrepreneurs fail? I mean, I have my ideas of why I think they fail, but I'd love to hear what you think.
Well, the politically incorrect reason, one of the politically incorrect reasons, is that they have bad ideas. Hmm. And so you can take somebody who's willing to work 12 hours a day, which is kind of what it takes at the start for a lot of businesses. You can take somebody who's smart, willing to work a lot, could even be a great leader. But if they're in a bad business because they have a bad idea, or they just have an idea that's maybe in an industry that's going downhill, like you're taking all of this energy and it's almost like throwing good money after bad. And if you simply take that person, like I've had not just clients, but a lot of friends who I look at them and I go, your skill set, like you've gone to all these seminars over the years, you've built amazing sales training and you've built this, that, and the other thing. And yet you're running a gym, and running a gym is great, but you know, cause I own a couple and all that sort of stuff. And it's a great impact, but they're taking like a level 10 entrepreneur skill set and applying it to a level one problem. Or they're in, like I said, a bad idea of a bad business. Like you can't fix, it doesn't matter how smart you get or how good you get at sales. You've just chosen a bad idea. And so I think people might rush into that a little bit too much. And so I think it's worthwhile for everybody all the time, just to go, are we fighting an insurmountable battle because of we haven't done enough long-term thinking or big thinking, and we're just going in there and I've even done this myself. I've been really good at tactics, but the strategy has been wrong. And it doesn't matter how good you are at sales copy, email copy, and so on and so forth. If the big idea is wrong, then it's going to lead to frustration. So that's one of the many reasons. But I don't see a lot of people calling out entrepreneurs for just simply having a bad idea.
I say it all the time. So if your product fails, your product or service has to be good. Like before we even get into anything, right? Anytime I speak on stage or do anything, I said, all this works, but we're going to make one assumption is that you have a good product or service, right? People actually want what you have. So people pay you a lot of money to work with you. How do you tell them like straight up that your idea is bad?
Hey, Jason here. I hate to interrupt this episode. You're probably enjoying it so much right now. And thank you for paying attention to it and tuning into this episode. Look, the truth is, I really need a favor from you. We really want to keep getting this in the hands of more and more people. So if you could do me a favor and head on over and leave a 5-star review, leave us a review, leave us some comments, share it with friends, spread the love. It would mean the world to me. As well, continue the conversation with me on Instagram at Jason Portnoy. Follow along there. Look forward to seeing you there. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode.
Well, if somebody's going to work with me, they don't have a bad idea because they're usually
qualified,
you know, down the path. Yeah. Now that said, within a business, there will be bad ideas. So, you know, and this could be around people, or this could be around, you know, product line or something. And so it's getting them to see the problem in the way that we described it before, with the unemotional, unattached eyes, because as soon as somebody comes like labels the idea theirs, right? Or, you know, I'm doing this, or I'm already a little bit down this path, they're very emotionally attached to it, right? It's just like everybody knows somebody who's been in a bad relationship.
It's the business is my baby thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, the analogy I was going to use is everybody has had a friend who's dating somebody that everybody else around goes, wow, this is just going to blow up and it's going to be bad news, but they can't see it, you know, they don't want to see it and so on and so forth. And there are certain things that you can't force on somebody, you know, cause so I grew up, you know, it was probably contributing to my anxiety, but I grew up the son of an alcoholic. And doesn't matter how many times anybody tried to, you know, tell my father to stop drinking. He was an alcoholic. He could only stop drinking when he was ready to stop drinking. He was never ready to stop drinking, so killed him. And it's the same with certain ideas. So if I find somebody who's not willing to be coachable, not willing to take that feedback, and not willing to look at things with outside eyes, it's going to be a real frustrating thing. So there will be certain people where it's like, okay, listen, this is not a good fit. You need to go over here and deal with somebody else, or you need to go and, you know, sometimes get therapy. This is just outside my scope of expertise. But when it is somebody who's like, Craig, listen, I want your advice, and they're open to it, Then I say, okay, listen, you know, I either try and use an analogy, I try and use another system. I try and show them like, okay, this is probably what's going to happen, or what do you think is going to happen if we do this? And you try and get them to see, for them to come up with a solution, for them to see the change as their own idea, because when it's, you know, people have always said like, people don't like change. Well, people like change when it's a benefit to them, and people don't like change when it's not a benefit to them. So if an entrepreneur has an idea and I'm trying to get them to change, and if the idea of change means like it's a knock on their ego and it means a lot of work to change direction, it's going to be very difficult to get that person to agree with me that it's time to change. But if we can get them to almost be a part of figuring out what the next step is and how we can transition this and why we need to transition it, and all of a sudden they see like, oh, there's a lot of benefit to me to making the transition and the change, then I have somebody a whole lot more bought in. And worst case scenario is then I might, you know, I bring in another coach from my team and we have like a more of a group meeting, or we get involved with their team and try and get their feedback, so that it's not just me overcoming that insurmountable decision making.
One of the things I'm going to feed this to you perfectly because of what you do. I actually think one of the biggest reasons most businesses fail is because they try to go at it alone and they don't ask for help. I would not be where I'm at if I didn't have amazing mentors, hired coaches, done the right things. I see the value in it. But I think one of the hardest things to sell is coaching, for them to see that they need to ask for help, right? Everything I've ever had, I have, is because I asked for it. I find it so easy. How'd you get Craig on the podcast? I asked him. Is that easy? Well, yeah, I mean, he has to say yes, but I asked, right? It starts with an ask. How do you get people to see the value in coaching? Aside from that, it's helped you. I know it's helped you. I know it's helped me. But what's your advice for people listening right now when it comes to like, hey, if you've been holding back on coach, you got to pull the trigger.
Yeah. So I just use so many of my stories. I use examples of my clients, but I can also use this in an example that everybody can get where it's not business related, and just show you how powerful it is. Because one of my phrases, Jason, is that everything in life is easier the more people you know. Hmm. So this goes back to what you said about doing everything on your own. If you do everything on your own and you don't ask for help, it's going to be very difficult. You know, first of all, it's going to be very difficult to come up with the strategies and tactics, but it's also going to be very difficult for you on the tough days. And I always say, like, there's literally going to be a day in your life when your spouse or your boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, is ready to leave you, your dog has run away, and somebody like punches you in the stomach, and you're going to have to show up and be your best in your business on that day. So it's very difficult to do that if you don't have support. Now, on the flip side, or the more practical side, or the non-business side, the story is just an example of how easy life becomes when you know more people and you can ask for help.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Thank you for your attention. And if you made it this far, you're clearly somebody who wants to take their business to the next level. You want to get better. And I understand that being an entrepreneur sometimes can feel like a little bit of a lonely journey, which is why being part of a thriving community of like-minded people is just so important. It was super helpful in my own development as well. And as is the ability to instantly get answers to the questions you may have in order to grow and scale your business. It's for that reason why I launched a consulting coaching program called the Market Domination Method. And guess what? If you're listening to this and you hear this, we're open for applications right now for new members to join. So to request an invitation or to book a free diagnostic call it a game plan call. I'll literally sit with you and demonstrate the value that we could bring to your business on that call. Let's jump on a call. We'll discuss ways you could possibly grow your business. Head on over to jportnoy.com, jportnoy.com. You'll find all the different ways we could work together. It's going to be the best business decision you'll make. So hope to speak soon. Head on over to jportnoy.com, book that free game plan call, and I look forward to talking to you soon.